North Korea moves beyond transactional deals with Putin, cementing alternative security order. Russian President Vladimir Putin's unscheduled meeting with North Korean Foreign Minister Cho Sun, Hui at the Kremlin, exposes the accelerating consolidation of what institutional investors must now recognize as a fully operational alternative security architecture. The absence of any multilateral pretext for the July 19 encounter confirms what balance sheets have been signaling for months. Pyongyang, Moscow, and Beijing are moving beyond transactional opportunism into coordinated strategic planning, with capital markets lagging the geopolitical reality. Putin thanked North Korea for supporting his war against Ukraine during the Sunday meeting, according to Russia's state-run TASS news agency, while Cho conveyed Kim Jong-un's commitment to comprehensive bilateral development. The timing matters. Cho's visit follows a flurry of North Korean-Chinese diplomatic activity this month, including North Korean Cabinet Premier Park Thi-song meeting Xi Jinping in Beijing and Wang Hunning, a member of the Chinese Communist Party's Politburo Standing Committee, visiting Kim in Pyongyang. South Korea's Unification Ministry spokesperson Yoon Min Ho confirmed Seoul was monitoring the meetings, but declined to assess whether Moscow and Pyongyang were coordinating another Kim Putin summit, according to reporting from NPR. The Kremlin meeting arrives as China's global favorability rating surpasses that of the United States in 25 of 36 countries surveyed by the Pew Research Center between January and March 2026, the first time the organization has recorded such results. China now enjoys a more positive image than the U.S. In American neighbors Canada and Mexico, with favorable views reaching record highs across the Asia-Pacific and Middle East regions. The U.S. leads in just six nations: Poland, the Philippines, South Korea, India, Japan, and Ukraine. This is the context investors need. While Western policymakers debate supply chain diversification, the Moscow-Pyongyang-Beijing axis is executing a coordinated diplomatic offensive that already commands majority global favorability and operational military cooperation. The implications for risk pricing, commodity flows, and defense sector positioning are immediate. The military-economic complex takes shape. North Korea has sent thousands of troops and substantial weapons supplies to support Putin's war in Ukraine, according to NPR's reporting, likely in exchange for economic aid and technology transfers that experts say are advancing North Korea's military capabilities. The strategic partnership agreement signed by Kim and Putin in Pyongyang in June 2024 pledges mutual aid if either country faces aggression, formalizing what was previously informal military cooperation. The economic dimension cannot be separated from the military one. Kim has prioritized Russia in his foreign policy while simultaneously strengthening ties with China, including hosting Xi for a June summit in Pyongyang. Kim's top economic official, Park Thi-song, met Xi in Beijing this month, signaling that Pyongyang's diplomatic push encompasses both security guarantees and economic integration. For investors, this triangulation creates optionality. North Korea gains both Chinese economic support and Russian military technology, reducing vulnerability to sanctions pressure while enhancing its negotiating position with the West. The timing of Cho's Moscow visit, immediately following the North Korea-China high-level exchanges, suggests coordination rather than coincidence. When foreign ministers travel without multilateral cover or state anniversaries, the agenda is substantive. South Korea's deliberate non-assessment of whether a Kim Putin summit is being arranged tells its own story. Seoul lacks visibility into planning that is occurring beyond its intelligence reach. The new Cold War's public opinion battlefield, China's rising favorability rating, documented in the Pew survey conducted across 36 countries from January to March 2026, provides quantitative evidence of shifting geopolitical alignment. The survey recorded low confidence in both President Donald Trump and Chinese leader Xi Jinping, Yet China's median favorability rating rose compared to previous years, while the U.S. rating remained largely unchanged. This divergence matters for capital allocation. Public opinion drives policy durability, and policy durability determines investment horizon viability. In the Asia-Pacific, China's favorability rose but still lagged behind the U.S. In South Korea and Japan, yet the regional trend favors Beijing. In previous surveys, China's favorability had been lower, but the current data show a shift in global public opinion. A 2023 U.S. News and World Report survey found that 72% of respondents believed the U.S., China, or Russia was the greatest threat to the world, with perceptions of the U.S. as a threat rising. That earlier survey highlighted the volatility of global opinions. The 2026 Pew data suggest volatility is resolving into a directional trend. The European security establishment has responded by hardening its China posture. The European Council's latest assessment of the EU's strategic environment, endorsed by member states' ambassadors on July 8 and reportedly adopted at the Foreign Affairs Council on July 13, describes China as a critical long-term strategic challenge and a crucial enabler for Moscow in the Ukraine conflict. This marks a departure from the European Commission's 2019 definition of China as a partner for cooperation, an economic competitor, and a systemic rival. The shift from systemic rival to critical long-term strategic challenge is semantic, but the security framing is not. Brussels is preparing policy frameworks that treat economic engagement with China as a security liability rather than a commercial opportunity. Yet the same EU that hardened its security language on China simultaneously reached a new economic definition with Beijing on June 29. During Chinese Commerce Minister Wang Wentao's visit to Brussels, the EU and China agreed to characterize their relationship as stable and balanced key trading partners, launching a trade and investment consultation mechanism covering trade balancing, export controls, intellectual property rights, and WTO reform. The term has appeared multiple times in Chinese outlets and official statements, including People's Daily, the Ministry of Commerce, and the Chinese readout of Dutch Trade Minister S. Joerd Smuts's visit to China. This contradiction exposes the EU's strategic paralysis. It seeks to maintain commercial access to Chinese markets while adopting security frameworks that logically require decoupling. For investors, this creates arbitrage opportunities in sectors where regulatory rhetoric diverges from economic necessity, particularly in manufacturing, logistics, and technology hardware. U.S.-Iran escalation adds regional pressure. The Moscow-Pyongyang meeting unfolds against renewed U.S.-Iran military escalation that raises the cost of Middle Eastern energy dependence. A U.S. soldier was killed Saturday in Iraq during a controlled detonation of a downed Iranian drone, U.S. Central Command announced Sunday, bringing the death toll of U.S. service members to 17 during the conflict with Iran. More than 430 American troops have been wounded. The U.S. and Iran have returned closer to all-out war as last month's interim deal collapsed, and shipping traffic in the Strait of Hormuz has largely stalled, according to CBC News reporting. The U.S. military Central Command said it targeted Iranian military coastal surveillance and air defense facilities, maritime capabilities, and missile and drone storage sites. The Atomic Energy Organization of Iran condemned a U.S. attack on a nuclear site under construction. Both sides have targeted civilian infrastructure relied on by millions of people, with the U.S. hitting bridges, water desalination plants, and electrical facilities in Iran, while Tehran has struck U.S.-allied countries throughout the Middle East. Kuwait, Jordan, and Bahrain again activated air defenses for incoming Iranian drones and missiles. For commodity markets, the Strait of Hormuz disruption matters. Roughly one-fifth of global oil supply passes through the strait, and sustained closure would send Brent crude into triple digits. The collapse of the interim deal demonstrates that diplomatic off-ramps are narrowing, not widening, raising the probability of sustained supply disruption. Energy security concerns provide additional incentive for European and Asian buyers to diversify away from Middle Eastern supply, benefiting Russian and Central Asian producers, which in turn strengthens Moscow's leverage in its diplomatic push with Pyongyang. The Plaquemium view, the Moscow-Pyongyang meeting, is not theater. It is project management for a trilateral security and economic architecture that has moved from conceptual alignment to operational coordination. Institutional investors who continue to price geopolitical risk as episodic volatility rather than structural realignment are underpricing tail risk across asset classes. Three dynamics converge. First, the military-economic integration of North Korea, Russia, and China is producing mutual defense commitments backed by technology transfer and troop deployments. Second, global public opinion is shifting in China's favor at the same moment that Western security establishments are hardening their posture, creating policy incoherence that markets have not yet arbitraged. Third, the U.S.-Iran escalation is forcing Middle Eastern energy off-ramps to close, increasing the probability of sustained supply disruption that benefits Russia economically while constraining Western policy options. The investment implication is clear. Portfolios positioned for a return to pre-2022 globalization are structurally misaligned with the emerging security architecture. Defense contractors with exposure to missile defense, cyber capabilities, and autonomous systems will see sustained demand as Western governments scramble to match the coordinated threat. Energy infrastructure in non-Middle Eastern jurisdictions, particularly LNG terminals and pipeline networks outside the Strait of Hormuz choke point, will command premium valuations. Technology hardware supply chains that have not yet diversified out of China face regulatory risk as security definitions harden, while those that have completed diversification will see margin expansion as compliance becomes a competitive moat. The deeper play is in the mismatch between EU economic engagement and EU security rhetoric. Brussels wants Chinese market access, but treats China as a strategic threat. That contradiction cannot hold indefinitely. Either the economic relationship fractures, creating supply chain dislocation that benefits alternative manufacturing hubs in India, Vietnam, and Mexico, or the security rhetoric softens, validating continued China exposure. We see higher probability of the former. Security concerns override commercial interests when public opinion shifts, and the Pew data show that shift is already underway in European electorates. Position accordingly. So what? The capital allocation playbook for institutional allocators. The Moscow-Pyongyang meeting crystallizes three actionable themes. First, increase weighting to defense and aerospace names with revenue concentration in NATO member states and U.S. allies in the Indo-Pacific. The mutual defense commitments forming between Moscow, Pyongyang, and Beijing will force symmetric responses from Washington, Tokyo, Seoul, and Brussels. Budget increases are coming, and they will be sustained. Second, overweight energy infrastructure outside the Strait of Hormuz and outside Russian pipelines. The U.S.-Iran escalation demonstrates that Middle Eastern supply is not reliable, and European dependence on Russian gas ensures Moscow retains leverage regardless of sanctions. LNG terminals in the Gulf Coast, Australian export facilities, and East African pipeline projects will see capital inflows as diversification becomes security policy. Third, screen for technology hardware and component manufacturers that have completed supply chain diversification out of China. The EU's rhetorical hardening on China will eventually translate into policy, and when it does, companies still dependent on Chinese manufacturing will face margin compression from tariffs, export controls, and regulatory compliance costs. Those that moved early will command valuation premiums as scarcity assets. The unscheduled nature of the Cho Putin meeting tells investors everything they need to know about the pace of coordination. When foreign ministers travel without public pretexts, the work is already done. Markets are mispricing the durability of the Moscow-Pyongyang-Beijing axis because they are anchored to episodic volatility models. The architecture is now operational. The question is not whether it will hold, but how Western capital will adapt to a world where it does.